Gretchen Whitmer. Senator, how are you?
I'm great, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How's the girls?
Girls are wonderful.
You know,
you're packing lunches, getting ready for school.
You know, you're lucky. It seems like every day I'm dealing with this 8 and 10 year old just going at each other all the time. You know?
Yeah, it's the age. Soon enough, they'll be best friends again.
I guess. I got to take the referee shirt off. Want to get your take on what you heard last night from Governor Snyder's State of the State.
Well, listen, you know, I think I should always start off with what I liked about it. And so I joked last night at our press conference, my favorite part was when he accidentally called me the majority leader. And that got a round of laughs. But on a serious note, you know, some of the things that I liked was he talked about how important Detroit's success is to the rest of the state. And I think we really need to embrace that because we can't let the biggest city in our state crumble. And so he didn't give much detail beyond that, but, you know, he gave that acknowledgement. And he talked about the anti-bullying bills, which, as you know, I, you know, worked very hard on, and I'm glad to say we've got something on the books. But my overarching problem with what he laid out last night was it really lacked a bold vision. He said 2012 will be the year of implementing government. And I looked around the, you know, the whole gallery, and everyone kind of looked at each other like, what? You know, what Michigan needs more than anything is a bold vision that tells that single parent who's struggling to put food on the table, or the guy who only puts 2 gallons of gas in his car because that's all the money he's got in his pocket, that Michigan, you know, give us reasons to be optimistic. Give us something to really say Michigan is the place to be in. That's why I was disappointed he didn't talk about our higher education plan we put on the table last week.
All right. Let's just say I'm going to be the devil's advocate. Would it be safe to say that last year there was a bold vision, the budget was balanced, and we found help for businesses, we found resolution in some other areas? Would you say that there was bold vision and leadership last year?
Well, I'd say last year, you know, he spent 48 minutes of his, you know, 1 hour speech talking about last year. And, you know, we lived through last year. Last year, at every stretch of the way, they picked corporations over kids. They took money out of the school aid fund to pay for business tax breaks, and they raised pensions to pay for it. And, you know, we've seen what's happened. You know, the metric that matters most as a parent is the fact that my kid's class went from 24 last year to 31 this year, that there are seniors in the area who are now qualifying for government assistance because they counted their pennies and worked out their retirement when they decided to leave or were forced to leave, and now they've got to pay a tax they didn't anticipate on to pay for these business tax breaks. So he is saying, let's keep doing the same. Let's double down on a policy. We don't know if it works or not. And that, you know, it creates a lot of concern. He wants to get rid of the personal property tax for business. And he's talking about raising gas taxes to make the budget balance. And, you know, I think doing more of what we did is not a bold vision. It's really, you know, kind of a scary policy. We need to model ourselves after, you know, what's going on in Kalamazoo with the Kalamazoo Promise, or what's going on in Minnesota with funding education. They've got their property values going up, their unemployment rate going down, and the per capita income going up. That's what we want to be.
Well, you know, when I hear you talk, Gretchen, and I listened to Mark Brewer, who is the leader of the Democratic Party for the state of Michigan, in a recent interview with Michael Cohen from WILS, and it just seems like there are such sour grapes that, you know, everything that was done last year was just horrible and it didn't work, and we weren't included in the process, and this governor's just a failure, and he just doesn't address these things. And I guess when I look at the opposing view, it's like, well, geez, we were in a world of hurt from Democratic leadership in the governor's office. We've kind of tightened our belts, and now let's see what happens. And what's the truth in all this?
Well, the truth is always somewhere in the middle. You know, when you talk to the, you know, hired guns for both sides, you know, you should always think that there's maybe more to the story. But from my position, you know, it's not a Democratic plan or a Republican plan. We got to have a plan about Michigan, and we've got to get back to talking about, you know, what it's going to take to move Michigan forward, not just balance the budget for this current year, but really, what does Michigan want to be in 2020? And that's why we call our education plan Michigan 2020. It's bolstered by, you know, testimony from economists from around the nation. And, you know, even people like Bill Gates say the place that businesses want to locate are where there's vibrant areas of educational institutions. And the trend we've been on for 12 years, and so it's not Democratic or Republican criticism, is a, you know, systemic disinvestment of education. And we've got to not only reverse that, but we got to do something dramatic so that we put Michigan on the map and we've got the best workforce in the nation. That's what's going to bring people into Michigan and create the jobs we want so bad.
All
the
right.
Good jobs.
I don't think anyone would disagree. We need to put more money into K through graduate school education funding. Where do we find the money?
Well, if you go to the Michigan2020.com, that's our plan, and that's really focused on higher education. You know, when you look at the Kalamazoo Promise and what it's done in that city, it has, you know, just over 6 years, just 6 years ago, they did this, and people are moving into Kalamazoo, employment is up, college enrollment is up, property values are up. I mean, we can replicate that across the state of Michigan, and we don't have to raise taxes to do it. All we have to do is get rid of loopholes that are on the books for businesses, you know, that have special interest lobbyists and require them to pay the same tax rate that the other businesses are paying, either 6% or 4.35%. I mean, that's all it requires. And we can fund this in perpetuity for every kid in public school, private school, and homeschooled to go to a public university. That, in one fell swoop, will put Michigan on the map and say that we really are the place to locate your business.
Senator, when we talk about the bridge, that was probably the biggest failure for the governor. What's your stance on that now, especially since you've had some time to think about it and maybe dig into it a little bit more?
I think there is a lot of support for building a bridge, you know, a government, you know, bridge that we don't actually put Michigan taxpayer dollars into, but Canada and the feds really are the ones who finance it. It puts Michigan people, you know, back to work and, most importantly, creates that infrastructure we really need for all this trade that happens in North America. So, you know, I was interested to hear the governor touch on it. He didn't give us a whole lot of detail about how he plans to navigate this. I'd prefer it go through the legislature. I think that's the way that really gives everyone security that this is something that we all support. But the governor seems to be prepared to go it alone, so I remain very interested in how that's going to play out.
You know, Senator, something I can recall talking with you about last year is corrections and how Indiana seems to be able to deal with prisoners at a rate that some say could be $10,000 less than what it costs for us to do the same thing here. Do you think we'll see any changes made with the Department of Corrections here in the state?
I think that's certainly possible. And, you know, I haven't seen a vision from the governor and the administration, because, of course, it's a department within the administration funded through the legislature as well. But, I think that is probably an area that I would anticipate them putting something forward and trying to find some savings there, and I'll be anxious to see what they want to do.
You know, the governor also talked about ethics, and he wants some changes made, especially with lobbyists, and that got me to thinking about some of the accusations that you made about unethical dialogue, the way women and perhaps others are treated at the state capitol. You agree with his assertion that some changes need to be made with ethics?
Oh, there's no question. And we have really pushed bills for transparency and reporting and, a lot of, things that really would be simple to do and that would give people faith in what's happening at the Capitol and what's happening with their tax dollars. And we are eager to work with him on that. We've certainly been pushing very similar things all along, and so that's heartening to know that we want to go in that direction. What it means is, the devil is always in the details, and like I said, we are eager to work with him on that area.
Senator, we appreciate your candor. It sounds like you're fired up and ready to go.
Well, I'm on my second pot of coffee, so that's how we roll.
All right, Senator. Thanks so much for your time. Enjoy your day.
You too. Bye-bye.